You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name's Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hey, we're back.
All right, Devin, welcome back. Episode 207. What do you got for us tonight?
I got two for you. This is from the Life's Little Instruction Book. Mm-hmm. When meeting someone for the first time, resist asking what they do for a living. Enjoy their company without attaching any labels. And the second one is, live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you.
Huh, okay.
Isn't that nice?
Those are nice, yeah.
I usually don't like overly flowery ones, you know?
Right,
but
right.
I think, I mean, like three things that you could pick that you want people to think of you. Being fair, caring, and having integrity. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like kindness, but that kind of kindness blends in with all those things,
you know? Yeah, well. Right. Being if you're fair and you're caring, that's, yeah.
That's kindness, right?
Right.
yeah. And having integrity, acting towards other people with integrity is kindness.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. And you know, as a legacy too, right? It's like, that's the way people remember you. So that's right. Like the strongest things, you know, your strongest personality traits.
Yeah. I thought that was nice. And the other one I thought was an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Don't ask people what they do. It's a tempting thing because it's like an easy question and then you get a little idea of, but usually it's not that interesting.
Right.
Unless I will say you're like at Maker Camp, then that's different.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But it's like normal stuff, like, you know, a co-worker's wife or husband or wife's friend's husband. You don't have to go right into that. It's not that interesting.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you're right. You don't have to. It does. You will automatically like put a label on, oh, you're making this much. You do this type of thing. You're this type of person.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's an interesting quote because I think that is, like you said, it's a very easy conversation starter, you know, because it tells you a lot about a person right off the bat. So it's not like, oh, how's the weather? It's like, hey, what's your name? What do you do? You know, like,
but I mean, it doesn't really, for people with boring jobs, it almost tells nothing about them.
Yeah, right.
It just like, yeah, man, this is what I fell into. I don't know.
Yeah.
I work like I'm this and I do taxes, or I'm like have this job and I'm an accountant here, like,
right, yeah.
It's definitely not my dream.
Yeah, Adam Savage just put out one of his his like a snippet from his live questions.
Yeah.
And it was about like you know, should you work at a job if you don't believe in the politics of your employer? You know, and so it was like that whole, so it was like spawned a whole conversation about you know, working somewhere for whatever it is you're working for. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got to pay the bills, you got to pay the bills, you know, and you're always going to be balancing, you know, your integrity with the reality of you have to be able to pay the bills. And if you have a family, you got to feed your family. And if you live somewhere, you got to be able to stay in the house, you know?
And if you pay someone enough, they don't really care.
Right.
Or maybe people, people get paid that much. Maybe they do care because they're just used to getting like, well, I have a good job and I can get it anywhere. Right. You know, if you're some type of like CEO thing or high manager position where, you know, there's like a bunch of places hiring, then you can go like, yeah, I'm going to make $120K no matter where I go.
Right.
Yeah. So like this guy posted about this thing or this company donated to left or right causes. Right. And I'm not. I think if you have the luxury of those feelings, then go ahead.
Right.
But a lot of people don't.
Right.
It's just like, shit. They said this thing. It's kind of annoying, but.
Yeah. And if you like.
They're not making you do anything. I think that you have to like. Separate yourself from that stuff. It has nothing to do with you unless you're literally like writing a speech for a political person you don't like. Involved that you were like connected. Who gives a shit if someone gives money to someone you don't like? Like, it has nothing to do with you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, you choose how, like, what's more important. You're supporting the person you're working for, you're supporting your family and your livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it just depends on, you know, it's a compromise. And there's always compromises to make and whether or not you're going to do it. And I think that is one of the reasons why I like that quote, is because people can be pigeonholed based off of what they do. You know, you're like, oh, you're that type of person. You know, you automatically judge them. And I like that it says, like, don't ask them what they do. Just enjoy being around the person and get to know them for who they are first.
Right.
You know, I've had that conversation with Corinne over the years of, like, how she decides to dress or, you know, who she's friends with and things like that. And, like, I just, like, you know, I want her to act and be in a way that doesn't give people like that judgment on her right away before they get to know her, you know? So I was like, yeah, if I see someone who's all dressed all super goth, you know, I'm going to think they're super goth and moody and, you know, like, I'll have that prejudgment on them. I'm going to judge them right off the bat. But, you know, if someone's dressed kind of just basic, then you can't judge them. You're like, okay, let me get to know you and I'll understand more about you.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, it's one of those things. You try not to. I don't know. I always think you just try not to give people a reason to label you before they get to know you.
Right. There's so much. I mean, and if your end goal is to like, I don't know if any of these people's end goal is to change anyone's mind. But if you have any of that in you, just be a good person to them, and then long down the road when you bring up a point, then they will think about it. Because they like you.
Right.
And they go, well, shit, I really like that guy or girl. They're great. And they did bring up this about this thing. Maybe I do agree. Maybe it's not like this. Maybe it's not like that.
Right.
Hey, you're just taking, if you care about that so much, it will, you being a kind person with integrity and caring and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You will get there easier. They will.
They're going to give you a second, listen to you.
So, but if you're wearing a political thing or a.
Yeah.
Red hat or a blue this or whatever, you know, people are just going to shut down right away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then they like prejudge you and just assume all these things about you. And that's just, it's just not right.
It just ain't right. But anyway.
Yeah. So I like the idea of, you know, getting to know someone for who they are. And, but like, as you said that, I was like, man, that's a very quick go-to question, you know, because it is a way to really get into someone.
Yeah.
You want to have something to talk about, you know,
it's better than like, hey, it's nice out today.
I know. Like, what's the next best question? If it's not like, hey, what do you do?
Yeah.
I guess it could be like, you know, where are you from? You know, there's that.
I like to bring something in, like, I'll think of like a little something to like talk about like on my way in if something happens. But this is the people I already know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like going to work. you know everyone's going to be there when you get there and you'll talk and be like, hey, like get this. Like the other day I was driving into work and I saw the Mustang and it must have been a 2003 or 2004, which was soon after they started making them look old again, like the new old thing. Like
swaybacks and stuff.
Yeah. And I remember, I was in high school when these came out and I really thought they were cool.
Yeah.
And then on the back of it was antique tanks. Nice. So then in my head, I'm like, oh, shit, you know you're old when the Mustang that was new in high school, when that's antique, you're officially old.
You know, historic tags. Yeah,
yep.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, car. Right, historic tags, yeah.
Over 20 years old. Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, that's it. I'm old now.
What did Corinne say? We were at Costco, and we were like walking down an aisle, and there was like a big giant, like, you know, pallet of black socks. She was like, "Ooh, black socks, they're nice." I'm like, "What are you, like 50? Mm-hmm. Like, you an old man? Ooh, black socks." Mm-hmm. She's like, "You wear black socks?" I was like, "Yeah, but I'm an old man."
She's like, I think the kids do like black socks right now.
Yeah, and she just, you know, Corinne is not like a typical kid. She's like, yeah. Comfort, you know, and mm-hmm. practicality over other mm-hmm. stuff. Although she has a little bit of her own style, but, you know, it's a little bit more now, but it's just funny. I was like, black socks.
Yeah. Okay, so to pivot,
yeah,
before we get into this Old House Volume 2, I'm gonna do Green Acres.
This old chicken coop.
Man, these chickens, they stink so bad.
Oh.
They're like grown up now. They're almost full size.
Yeah.
They're still all in the same bin. So tomorrow, father-in-law's come over. We're going to put the coop up.
Nice.
I still got all that junk from the shed, but I've cleared out a spot and flattened an area to put it.
Nice.
Just in front of where the old shed was.
Right on.
But man, they stink so bad. And
they're like teenagers.
There is so much dust.
Oh man, yeah.
That, because I mean, it's them, it's uh-huh. feathers, it's their bedding, it's their food.
Yeah,
is this like, you know, ground up stuff, and it's just on everything, on my computer, on my 3D printer, on my like it just, you wipe it up and it like. In 2 days, it's back. So it's terrible. So you'll hear them in the background. They're being loud.
Yeah.
One's actually a rooster. So.
Oh, that's fun. Nice.
Yeah, so we got a rooster, so we'll see if we can keep him around. Maybe he'll keep away predators. Yeah, so the coop's going up tomorrow. And nice. Then we'll probably put him in tomorrow or maybe we'll do Saturday.
Okay.
And have him out there.
Nice. What did you already get the coop, or is it like
being, yeah I've got okay, the coop. Gotcha. It's a tractor supply thing. It's too expensive. Everything's too expensive.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. It's crazy. Yeah, like chickens are, unless you have everything already.
Right. Yeah.
They're just not. It's, you're not saving any money. It's just a hobby, like anything. Yeah, you're gonna spend a little bit of money. I like the idea of it, but it's not. You're not saving any money.
Right. Yeah.
But we'll have to have free eggs for 30 years to recoup costs. But it's cool. It's something different. So I'm all right with it. And
can you put like a goat in with the chickens?
Why a goat?
Because you buy like a goat and then eat it. Like that would be, you would get more money. You know, it's like lamb chops and all that. You know, it would be like, it would pay back quicker maybe. Get a pig.
Just get out a lot. mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to really farm. But even real farmers, they don't make any money.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, like I'm just a normal farmer guy,
just a hobbyist
with our, yeah, with yeah. Our, I mean, I think, you know, seven chickens and
yeah. So like, you said you're putting it up. So is it like it was pre-made or is it pieces or something or what?
Yeah, it's basically pre-made, but it's, you know, everything is just flat.
Gotcha.
So okay. it's got the walls and the roofing and the fencing, but everything's in panels, so you gotta get it all together.
Gotcha. Okay. And it will be up off the ground? Like, is it up off like a platform?
Yeah, the coop is off just slightly. It's okay. Like a mini shed.
Right, yeah.
Like a 4-foot by 7-foot shed.
Okay.
And then there's the outside run, which is another, whatever, 8 to 10 feet. That's gotcha. Caged in, and we're gonna add some hardware cloth, like metal, extra fine metal fencing.
Gotcha.
We're gonna put that on the bottom and into the ground, like a foot, you know. So hopefully nothing digs under it.
Yeah, right.
And I think I'll use up some of those bricks too, and I'll bury some bricks in the
Nice.
Right under the fence. So we'll have fencing and bricks and rocks, and hopefully, hopefully they don't get attacked, which, you know, there will be attempts because they are, I've seen fox and there's like, there's everything here. This is like Predator City.
Yeah.
So,
you're like putting bait out in a cage. You're like, hey, there's a bait in the cage for you, and it's going to make a lot of noise.
So they will, things will try, and we'll do what we can. Yeah, it's cool. I'm really happy to get him out of the house. That'll be nice. Right. Out of the office.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, because I always like, I like, you know, both the Porters and the Greens, our friends, they both have chickens, so or had, and I think the Porters are getting chickens. They were going to get them right before Easter break, the spring break that just happened, but they decided to wait, so. But, yeah, so they're all chickened up, and, you know, it's always like, it's just, yeah, like you said, it's a hobby, you know, it's, there's just something else, like, it's kind of fun to do it, and the kids can go out and, you know, you open up a roosting box, and there are, like, eggs in there, you know, it's a little, ooh, eggs,
you know, it's nice, and, you know,
and you'll be up to your eyeballs and eggs soon enough.
Yeah, you know? And we eat plenty with kids, so.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, excuse me. So that's where we're at.
Right on. And that's you said that's all going up tomorrow. So you're doing like a caged in run. Are you gonna have any? Are you gonna try to do the like let them out around the property? Maybe.
Yeah.
Eventually. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, nice. Let them free range a little bit. They come back. You know.
Yeah.
So as long as they don't get jacked while they're out.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And y'all know what you're doing, but Saturday, if you don't come by and do a dump run in your truck.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll see what the plan is, because as of right now, with this old house, we have got lots of projects to to do. So, yeah, fortunately, we had spring break, so I was able to really, like, do a ton of stuff for, you know, 10 days straight, basically, you know, two weekends plus an extra Monday and the week. And we had originally planned to go up to my in-laws up in Vermont, but then we bought a house. So we're like, okay, well, we'll stay here. And then my in-laws were going to come down and work here, but then they decided to sell their house up in Vermont. So they're actually working on prepping it. So we were here by ourselves. Although mom did come down a couple of days and help out, which was really awesome. So our big project was putting up the fence. So we've, you know, I posted a bunch about that on social media and whatnot. And so, you know, we had all the fence posts that we pulled the 2 weeks before we moved, all the posts and all the rails. So they're all stacked in our backyard. And then last weekend, or not last weekend, but the previous weekend, my buddy Andrew came over and our brother Drew came over, and I went and got a auger and we augered all 74 holes and then put all the posts in the holes on the same day. Yeah. And got them all except for, no, we did. Yeah. All 74. So in one day we,
did you do two sets of holes?
No.
Why did it look? Oh, it must've been the dirt. It looked like you had two sets of holes down the side next to the business.
Oh, in the picture. Yeah. Cause all the dirt, like, cause where we are here in Maryland, it's, you know, you get good amount of soil for the first like foot to foot and a half, but then below that it's a lot of clay. So like, you know, a lot of that is like, it's not just regular dirt that I can just rake back into the lawn. It'll just like absorb it. Right. You know, it's clay. So it's just sitting on top. So those are all like, I raked the clay out of the grass and into a pile right behind each one. So that way we can scoop it up and take it somewhere.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But yeah, so did those, all the holes, got all the posts in, and I borrowed my neighbor Frank's chainsaw, so I was able to cut up the tree in my backyard that was down. And then also we marked and I cut each fence post to 74 inches, I think it was. And so we have 4 feet above the ground and whatever that is, 30 inches or so below the ground. Or 28, something like that. And that was, we chose that depth because that was the entire length of the auger bit. We're like, we can use the auger all the way down to the base, and that's how long it is. So we want to make sure all the fence posts are that. And we had, like, out of the, I think we ended up getting probably something like over 100 fence posts when we collect them from the place. And again, we got them all for free. We just had to, you know, do the work of pulling them out and bringing them over, with the help of the guy's tractor, which was cool. But But yeah, so I ended up having about 30 extras, and I still have a bunch, but we post them for free. So we've had a couple of people come by and snag a bunch. So those are moving. But yeah, so that was good. Just to like, we had enough to be able to basically do, when we pulled the fence posts, we pulled like kind of a variety of shapes. So we have some that are like half round logs that are probably, maybe 8 inches in diameter. So it's like a half of an 8-inch, you know, circle. So we have those, and then we have like 5 by 3 inch posts, and then we have like 4-inch circle posts. Mm-hmm. So it's just the variety of fence posts that they had at their property. So I asked Nicole before we started, I was like, do you have a preference of like how we do this? Do we like alternate, you know, like rectangle, half circle, or what do we do? And she's like, well, do we have enough to do like all of one kind down one side? And I was like, I think so. So we figured that out. So basically we have like all half circles going down one side, and then on the very end, the back of the yard, and then all the way up the other side is all the rectangles.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like, you're only looking usually at one side at a time. Yeah, or right. And also, a lot of people with fences, if you're sharing property lines, a lot of people have different fences depending on what side it is.
And, right.
You know, this guy already had a fence, so you have, like, the back of his fence.
Yeah, right.
And then chain link on one side. Yeah, and then it's your fence on this, and yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just, we like, basically, I just went in, you know, kind of estimated where my property line was based off of the markers that are there and the kind of plot survey that I got from when we sold the house or when we bought the house. And so I kind of used that information to run the fences down. I ended up meeting the owner of the property that's just to the south of us. Mm-hmm. Because I met the other guy, Bob, who I said, you know, Bob, Frank, and Jake, and all these guys. But it wasn't, he was the guy who's renting the property. He's been renting it for a long time, and he has his business in there, whatever, he has offices in there. They do engineering or something, but he's retiring. And so then the other day I met the actual owner, and he was chatting with me a little bit about, like, if I had gotten a survey, like an actual survey. And I was like, no, I just have the plot survey. And so he was like, okay, well, you know, depending on the property lines and stuff, he's like, if you want to get a survey, I'll split the cost with you. Right. So like he and I would then have a survey that would basically give us the line between our two properties because we have the parking lot and because it is a commercial property, which he's going to keep commercial.
Right.
So we'll see when that happens and if we end up doing that. But, you know, an actual property survey is not cheap. It's like over $2,000.
It's going to be real shitty, though, if you do it and your fence is off.
I know. Well, he was more concerned about, like, the front, like, basically where the line is really between the parking lot and my driveway,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, he's like, the last thing I want is to have any like ill will between the two properties, right? That's the worst thing you want, is to be like, have ill will between you and your property neighbor. He's like, and he like didn't care about the fence in the back. He's like, oh, it looks great, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's like, you know, just depending on what they do up front, they want to make sure that, you know, if eventually they want to put a fence in or something, if they're going to make it like a little convenience store or, you know, or something, like, cause it is a commercial property, depending on what he does with it, you know. So we'll see. He was like, I'm not in a hurry right now because I don't really know what I'm going to do with it. But, you know, it might be something that we think about.
Convenience store would not be good.
No, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know if he's like going to do it as a store or another office or what. But we'll see. So, but yeah. So yeah, so we'll figure that out. But the whole, all the posts are in. We painted everything. So they're all painted white now. And then we put up all the welded wire. So we got 2-inch square welded wire that's 4 feet tall. And so that's all the way around. And now we're just working kind of a little bit more slowly, but working on putting up all the rails. Cause we have to do like, we have to scrape them all, you know, cause they were like just out in the weather. So they've got dirt and lichen and stuff growing on them. So
yeah,
we got to scrape them and then paint one side. Or both sides, but like kind of we're like basically scraping all one side, painting one side, and then putting that side up on the fence because it's then up against the metal, fencing, you know? So it's like, we can't paint it. We can't put them up first and then paint it because it'll be behind the metal fencing. So we're like, got to paint one side, put them up. And then once they're up, then we can paint the other side or scrape and paint the other side. So it's kind of, we finished out on Sunday. My buddy Andrew came over and he was basically like cutting stuff and like laying it out. And Nicole and I are finishing the fences and getting everything. So
is Andrew a sailing buddy?
No, Andrew is a friend of mine through the Greens. So he's the British guy. I don't know if you met.
Yeah, Andrew. I know yeah. Who he is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Didn't know where he came from.
Yeah, he used to work with Brian, and then yeah, they worked together, and they don't work together anymore. But he's in Baltimore, and yeah, just a good friend of mine. That's, you know, we've become good friends over the years, and then when our friends the Greens moved away, like, he's still here in Maryland and in Baltimore, and so. Like, whenever we get together with the porters and stuff, we do, you know, weekend meals and stuff. He's always there too. We always invite him, and he invites us over. He's got a pool and stuff, so it's cool. Nice. But he's been super helpful. It's really nice to have. He brought his tractor over. He's got kind of a small, a Bobcat branded, front loader tractor. It's like a small. If you're sitting in it, if I'm standing next to him and he's sitting in it, my head's basically the same height as his, you know, so it's that kind of, it's like the smallest type of little, like, private tractor you can have, but it's got the PTO in the back and it has the front loader. And so he came over and we were able to cut the stump up, and we lifted it, moved it out, you know, using that, got it out of the ground, the tree that fell down, and then dragged it to the back of the property.
Nice.
But yeah, we got that out of there. And then actually, this past weekend, we were clearing up. There was this big kind of prickery, maybe a rose bush. I'm not exactly sure, but it wasn't a rose bush, but it was this big pricker bush that was on the edge of our driveway, between our driveway and the next door neighbor's the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And so Nicole cut that whole thing down. So we were kind of dragging it to the back of the property, but instead of just dragging it, I loaded it up in the back of my pickup truck, and then I drove it around. And on the side, on the opposite, the other property, on the other side of us, they have a big a parking lot as well in the back. And so we put a big, like, metal farm gate right past that, so you can actually drive into the backyard. Yeah. So I drove into the backyard, loaded up the truck there with some more stuff, and then drove it down to the end of the yard, the very back. And we have a gate right in the middle of the back of the fence. And it's the two fence posts are, like, just wide enough for me to be able to fit the truck through, with like 3 inches of spare on either side. So it's like perfect. So it's like just the right size that if you needed to get a vehicle through at the end, and that's my like full size truck, you know, too. So,
right.
But yeah, so I was able to drive down there and back. And it's like, that way we could kind of take all that stuff back to the end of the yard and throw it in the woods.
Yeah. You know?
But, so that's the backyard. That's been going really good. The dogs are happy now, 'cause they've got the full yard to run around.
Yeah.
And we like kind of figured out what we wanted to do, but we did end up going at a diagonal from the bottom of my back steps to the left side of the garage. So the whole like garage door and everything are all inside the backyard, inside the fenced in area. Mm-hmm. And then we have a gate there, you know, in that diagonal piece there as well. So then inside the house, things that we've been working on, we had bought a white enameled sink, a kind of farmhouse sink.
Yeah, I saw pictures.
Yeah, and then we decided we wanted to do butcher block countertops in the house. So we got some big chunks of butcher block from the Habitat for Humanity Restore, which is awesome. So it was like...
Nice.
It was three big pieces. So the only, like, the kind of annoying thing is that there wasn't any big piece that was like the full length of the counter. So we got two pieces that, you know, when you basically it's the counter symmetrical. So the sink is right in the middle, and then you have two pieces on either side. So I've got like an inch and a half, counter in front of the sink and behind the sink, and divided evenly. So it makes like, you know, cut in half. And the division between the two is right in the middle of that. So like right in the front middle of the sink, there's like a break in the countertop, which is like not a big deal because you're not ever going to like do anything really right there. It's just in the front of the sink. It just there's like a little line there, which is a little bit annoying visually, but it's not that big of a deal. So we pulled out the old sink, pulled off the old countertops, and unhooked all the water and everything, and then put in the new countertops and new, you know, I cut the new sink, and I used so like the sink has round corners, and so I used a big like a 3-inch, 2.5-inch hole saw to cut the two corners, you know, on either side, or the four corners, basically cut those first, and then use a jigsaw to cut in between. And I killed my Makita drill in doing that.
Oh no!
It was just like it just you know, I just run it, and I wasn't pushing too hard because it wasn't cutting super fast, but it was just a lot of like speed and going, and then it just like it was smoking and getting hot, which they do sometimes anyway. I usually just stop using them and they're usually fine for a little bit, but then it really started smoking, and then it was like glitching. It was like, click, 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 click. And then it was like, I could hear it like grinding inside. I was like, oh, and then all of a sudden it was just like a lot of smoke came out the back. I was like, oh no. And I realized like I have four Makita drills. I have one drill and then three drivers, right? So like the drill is the only one with the chuck where I can actually put in drill bits and stuff that don't have a quick connect to them. So I bought myself a new Makita drill. It's like, ooh. But, you know, it's like, you know, it's not super cheap, but it's, I was just buying the drill, no battery, no nothing else, you know? So I think it was $88 or something for the drill, the actual body. And I've got plenty of batteries, cause I have the, like a trim router that I have two batteries with, and then I have like three or four extra batteries for the other drills and drivers. So
nice.
Plenty of batteries, but yeah, so I cut out the countertops and got the sink in and all, and so then I'm like looking at it, and we have a radiator right below the sink, and I realize it's like really tight, you know, like it's not a lot of space between the top of the radiator and the bottom of the sink. It's only like 8.5 inches.
Yeah.
And so I need, in that space, I have to do two like sink strainers that come down, and then two, you know, pipes that come out and come together and maybe have like a single P-trap underneath. So it's not like they can just go right to the wall. They have to come down and back up. And
right.
And so I'm like trying to figure it out, and I'm getting all these measurements. I'm drawing stuff. I'm figuring stuff out. And at the same time, we also pulled up all the laminate flooring and the under flooring in our kitchen. So we have like this bare floor, and we moved the stove from the pantry out into the kitchen, and it's a gas stove, so we had the plumber come to run the plumbing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, wasn't cheap. I think it was like $1,200, something like that, to run it.
Did you get the new stove?
No, we didn't get the new old one.
Okay.
That one ended up being sold or something before we could get it, so I was not unhappy about that.
Nicole's like, oh, it's calling. You're like, ah, that's sorry.
No, but then she was actually later, she was like, well, she's like, this actually is like, when she was doing more research on other stoves and stuff and kind of what she was thinking for like visually, she, you know, the prices and stuff, she's like, well, the one we have is actually a pretty decent stove, like, you know, it's like the more mid to high range price range, you know. So she's like, maybe we can live with this one. I was like, all right, nice. And like, I'm not against getting a new stove. I just wasn't 100% on board with getting an old stove, right? You know, that looked the part. I was like, I love the look of it. Like, don't get me wrong, it was super cool. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This old historic looking stove. And if it all worked perfectly great, then I'd be happy with it. But
right. You're like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'd love to have an old muscle car, but it's not going to be a daily driver. And it's not, then people don't drive them daily for a reason.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so we got the stove out, and so when the plumber came to do that, I asked him, I was like, hey, would you mind give us some advice and maybe helping us hook up the sink, you know, the space underneath? And Nicole and I talked about it beforehand, and we were like looking at how much money we were going to spend on like the pieces, which wasn't going to be much, you know. It was going to be like, I don't know, $50 on, you know, PVC and joints and stuff at Home Depot. And so we were like, okay, what are we willing to spend if he'll do it for us, you know? So we kind of talked about that. I was outside working on fences and she was inside, and we talked to him a little bit about it, and he started doing stuff and figuring it out. And then it was like $1,000 later. He's like, all right, it's all done. I'm like, But damn. It's done right, and the way he did it was definitely a way that, like, was the right way, but it wasn't easy. Like, all the, like, what he had to do to fit the stuff in there and do the weird U-bends and turns and stuff, and but he got in. And it's all, like, you know, obviously it's all guaranteed and stuff for a certain amount of years, so it's like, man. Like, all this stuff, like, you know. And because Cole even said before because he was like, oh, well, I'll run to Home Depot and pick up some supplies and stuff to put all this. And she was like, she said she had asked him, she's like, you know, could we save some money if we went and got all the supplies and stuff? And he was like, not really. That's not really like the cost. You know, we're like, yeah, of course it's not, right? Like, it's PVC. It doesn't cost anything, you know?
Right.
And, like, you know, PVC cement, it's like $8 can of cement and, you know, $30 worth of PVC.
$1,000, that's rough.
Yeah, but I know, man. It's like, but fortunately, you know, we had a certain amount of money budgeted for, like, the initial stuff, like buy the house and do these initial things that kind of have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicole was really, like, you know, we very much wanted the kitchen to be done sooner rather than later, you know, like to get it kind of set up in a way that we want. So,
yeah.
So yeah, we ordered this I forget what it is. It's not straight vinyl. It's some newer type of vinyl, but the like individual tiles. So we got 9-inch tiles, and they're like maybe 3/16 thick. So a little bit less than a quarter of an inch. But
why smaller? Why 9-inch instead of like a foot?
It's just the brand we found and what we liked. And we were looking at some other ones that were 12 inch, but, these were 9. And so we were like, so what we're going to do is we're going to do kind of a lattice pattern. So, you know, like typically you see like a checkerboard pattern, you know, in some houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this will be a lattice. So if you imagine like rows of lighter color, rows and columns, but then in between you have darker ones. Mm-hmm. So it's not like every other one, but it's like out of a square of 9 tiles, the middle one would be dark and the 8 around the outside would be light. Right. And then it would be the same thing. Like, so like a lattice. So
that smaller tiles, definitely old school. I remember the smaller, like, but I remember it as doing work in flooring it was usually asbestos in the in the old places. 'Cause it was like, oh, this is the size they used to use.
Yeah.
And they were usually asbestos, which I loved finding small tiles because my day was over.
Yeah, right.
And we just
we'd head back to the
shop. Yeah, they're like, yep, we're done. We can't touch it. Sorry, yeah. Asbestos tile. You know.
Yeah. But yeah,
cool, it's like, obviously it's fine. It's it's not old school, it's brand new stuff.
Yeah, and we drew out, like, we used some graph paper and kind of Nicole drew out the plan of the kitchen and then drew out what the pattern would look like in 12-inch tiles, which we were thinking originally, and then how it would look in 9-inch tiles, and we were happy either way, you know. So it's nice, but it'll be kind of like a slightly off-white, so it's not just like a straight white, but it's like a kind of off-white, you know, a little bit like leaning toward like a grayer off-white, and then like a light kind of pale, like robin's egg blue type thing. So it's a little bit darker value, but not like a ton. So it's the light, the off-white, the blue. So it'll look really nice. Nicole had found some images of other houses from around the area, and, you know, I mean, not the area, around the time period, that, you know, use different patterns. So that's kind of what we're looking at, like what's kind of common, or people that are other people who are restoring houses to this time period, similar types of houses, what do they look like? So that was one of the things that came up, and we both really liked that. So we ordered those tiles, so they're here. So when we did pull the floor, all the old vinyl, like rollout sheet flooring that was in there, and then the kind of MDF underlayment, we got all that out. The floor below that, which we were hoping was like decent pine boards, because originally we were hoping it was oak, because that's what the rest of the main floor is. It's all oak flooring.
Yeah.
But when we started pulling it, we're like, okay, well, it's not oak. We can tell because it's wider boards. So we're assuming that it's the same as it is up on the second floor. So, like, when you come up to our second floor, the hallway is all oak. But when you go into the bedrooms, it's not oak. It's pine. You know, it's wider.
Right.
It's because, like, you know, it was only the common areas that they would have put the really nice flooring in. And everything else gets, like, the, you know, the second stages. But the flooring in the kitchen, although it is pine, it's like, it's it wasn't done like super well. Cause so it was like done originally as subfloor, you know? Right. So it was, it's like, it's the third level of like wood in the house, right? So it's like the oak of the main floor, the pines of the bedrooms, and then the pine flooring of the kitchen, which was only a subfloor. Like, and we're assuming it was probably like, they probably did tile right away on top of it, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. So it's got some gaps and stuff, but it's still pretty solid. So we're going to, but I mean, it's got, you know, the leftover, adhesive and stuff lines. You can see it on there. So we're basically just going to sand it all. We're going to like get it, you know, relatively flat. We're not sanding it back to clean. We're just sanding it so it's flat. Right. And then we'll use wood filler, and we'll fill in all like this. There's some cracks and stuff and gaps and things. So we'll fill everything with wood filler, let that set completely, sand that, and then we'll put the tile on top of that. So
very nice.
Yeah. So that's kitchen stuff. Yeah. So counter, sink, stove moved. We have the other piece of butcher block table for the other side, which will go next to the stove, but we don't have the cabinets and stuff yet for that. So that'll come when we get that chance. So
yeah, I'm going to need copies of all these videos you've been posting to Instagram.
Oh, right.
Because we need to do an update on YouTube. Like I need like, I'll do like a montage, you know, like maybe three things on each screen and just be like, have some music over it.
Yeah.
And of all your stuff, getting things going.
Yeah, right. You have to get like, photos and like, I'm trying to get like progress shots and stuff and some videos, like trying to document the process somewhat, but
yeah.
Yeah. And then, let's see what else we bought a new, shop sink for the basement. A utility sink. Mm-hmm. Cause it's, the big concrete one down there has got some cracks and stuff in it, so that's got to go, unfortunately. And I was able to spend one day working in the shop on my spring break. One day. One stinking, not even a whole day, only like 4 hours. Like half a day.
Well, your skills are being used to fix the house right now.
I know, yeah. It was nice, though, because like, when we moved into the shop, in one corner there was a big stack of pallets that were just already there, and I should have had the forethought beforehand to like move them out before we put everything in.
Yeah,
because like once we got everything in, it was completely jam-packed, the full 18 by 20 foot, you know, two-car garage, jam-packed all the way to the door. Every single thing was in there. So the day that I actually spent some time in the shop, I hung up the fire hydrant or whatever, you know, fire extinguisher.
Oh yeah.
And, kind of started moving some stuff around and kind of organizing a little bit what I could, just putting things in areas that I knew they would be. But then, I started just like moving things out of the shop. So everything that was on wheels that I could, that was all packed in the front, I just moved out to the like yard right in front of it. So just rolled stuff out. Got it out there so I could actually move a little bit inside, and then I moved enough stuff where I could get back into the corner that had all the pallets, and I just like slowly, one by one, they like, lifted them up and like, you know, angled them around other stuff to get them out, and all like whatever, like 30 of them or something, not that many, probably 15 or whatever, but you know, got them all out and opened up this 4 by 5 foot space in the back corner, which I actually then moved. We had put like a shelf, which was the shelf that was right inside the old shop door, right on the left, right kind of behind the door. I moved that, which was on the back wall near the window. I moved that to the right wall next to the bench that's against the wall right now, which opened up that back space. And then I put my grinder bench against that wall, which is kind of where it probably will live in the future. So I was able, and that grinder bench was just like in the middle of the shop, you know, because it was just, everything was just put in. So it actually opened up a decent amount of space in the middle of the shop. And so that was when I took that video of like showing the shop all closed off completely, and then one that would like show some open stuff in the middle. So,
right.
But that was the same day that I had everything out in the middle of the yard. So like, that wasn't exactly what it looks like now, but,
yeah.
But it was nice. It was nice to get in there and start moving some stuff and opening some boxes and putting things away and just starting to feel a little bit like, what I really need to do is I need to build shelves in the shop.
Yeah.
Because I need, there's just like a lot of stuff that needs to go on shelves.
Right.
And, you know, And so, like, I have enough wall space behind where the main back bench will be when we build it to be able to put two shelves instead of one. Like, before, it was, like, all the pegboard with one shelf above it. And so I'll be able to do a second shelf above that. So I'll have, like, a double shelf space there. So I think what I'll do is I'll probably build those shelves before I put the bench in. So that way I can get stuff up there, and then that'll leave me, like, a bunch of empty space. Then I can build the bench against the wall and leave some space for pegboard again back there and all.
Yeah.
Should be good. I'm excited. I'm excited to do that. So, you know, once I get those shelves up and get some space, then maybe we can figure out a time to get together, and I can, it'd be fun to build that bench, you know, as a video.
Yeah. Just get some, I have the GoPro. I'll have to get that to you.
Right.
Or just get some phone time-lapse footage of putting the shelves up. Mm-hmm. If you do that, we'll have that.
Right on.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I was thinking maybe we could do one day, you know, midweek. I'll just come over and we can work on, like, something real quick. Yeah. Like something silly. Actually, there was an idea I had. You could do the Nerf gun modification just in front of your shop. Just teach that. And then also on a short, we could do how to turn your Milwaukee work fan into a toy for the kids. Because it's so the Milwaukee work fan, right, it tilts.
Yep.
And it tilts as far as where it's flat.
Right. Yep.
And it just so happens to vortex perfectly that where if you put a balloon in it, it stays there. It
stays right there. That's awesome.
Which I haven't seen anyone do. And it's so wild. Like, you can throw the balloon at it and it catches in it. And kind of bounces and then stays there.
How
and
the high kids, up does it float?
It's like 4 feet, and then you can do it on six, and or you can turn it to 2, and it goes about 6 feet.
Oh, that's awesome!
So we could maybe just do a short, be like, you know, turn your Milwaukee work fan into something for the kids, and just click click and do it, and put the balloons. I'll put some footage of the kids playing with it.
Nice.
It's something stupid like that will get, you know, 10 million like hits.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was like, oh shit, because it's like, it's perfect. It must be whatever swirling wind it does.
Yeah.
Creates this perfect little cone that where a balloon will sit in there all day.
Right. And I've seen that with, like, at, you know, kids' museums and stuff. They have the different, you know, like pipes coming up out of the ground, and they all, you can do that. You can put like the ball or a balloon or something that'll kind of float above it because it's doing that. It's creating that, like, that air pocket there. That's fun. Nice.
Yeah. So maybe we could do that. Maybe we could shoot 2 things in one. Toy videos just for fun.
Toy videos, yeah. You have to see what I want to do for the modifications. Yeah, because like that one gun I have, I've heard about, like, you can change the spring to make it shoot further. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll paint it or something and do some modification. I don't know. But, yeah, it would be cool. But, yeah, it's been very, very busy. I don't know. Just sore and, like, you know, like, exhausted every day. Just, so exhausted. Nicole was like, my body can't take this anymore. Like every day is like, wake up, you know, make some coffee and then just like get to work. It was like, yeah, you know, 8 days in a row of doing that. It's like, whew, man. But you know, we had the time, and it's like, if we don't do it now, we don't just bust it out as much as we can, then we're just gonna, it's gonna take a lot longer.
Yeah,
and really the most important things that we wanted to do is like, we really wanted to get the backyard fenced in for the dogs, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. And like while we had the time and while there were some people who could help, you know, it's like, let's get as much done as possible. So that was the big push.
Well, you're doing a lot of like, I would say like yearly projects.
Yeah.
Like right. In like 1 month, usually, or at least for how we do it is, you know, right. Get a little bit of money and you work on one thing and you get yeah, something right. done for the year. But like, hey, yeah. we made the garden last year.
Yeah.
And hey, we want to do this. You know, this year we did the new kids room for, you know, and then yeah. and this year we're doing a chicken coop and adding that, you know, it's like
yeah.
we do like one thing a year. You're trying to do it all in like a couple weeks.
Right. Exactly. And leading up to, you know, like 5 or 6 nights in a row leading up to spring break, the weekend when we were going to be putting in the fences, I was clearing all this like bushes and debris and stuff off in the right. yard to make room and, for the fences.
Right. And before that you were moving.
Yeah. Right.
So you guys have been yeah, at it for like 2 months straight.
Yeah. Sure. So it's been a whirlwind, but we're getting there.
You guys going to do a fire pit in the back or just yeah. do a,
yeah, we'll do, well, we're going to do like, we're going to do a patio off the back steps. So we'll probably end up getting brick or something and doing like a nice brick patio. And then there we'll have a fire pit, like a portable fire pit there.
Oh, you're going to do it on the close yeah, side, not the
yeah,
back on
the close side. Right. Yeah. So between the garage and the house. Mm-hmm. So we'll do it there because we'll do like some chairs and that. And then the picnic table will be out there. And I keep like, we kept, as I would clear out more debris, I would like expand the dog's area around the shop as much mm-hmm. as I could.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept expanding things and cutting more bushes down and expanding things. And then just the other day I moved the picnic table back some, like, you know, closer to the fence of where it was. So like now we got to clear that area out and then we'll be able to move stuff out. So it actually, the area between the shop and the house and the fence is a pretty decent size area, you know, so it'll actually be a pretty big area. We'll just have to, you know, once we get the stuff kind of set up and designed,
yeah,
and get some patio thing there or something.
Surprise,
and
you don't want anything farther back in the yard.
Well, we do. We'll probably put something back in the yard, but it's just, you know, it's just less convenient.
Well, yeah,
because you know, they have to like then walk around the shop and back in the back of the yard. But we'll probably do some type of like, you know, stone fire pit or something back there. That'll be a little bit more secluded, you know, if we have bigger get-togethers or whatever.
But, that'd be a cool video.
Yeah. That would be fun. Yeah, I don't know if like I want to do it like regular stones or some type of pavers that we build up, you know, or something like that right. to make a built-in fire pit. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking about doing it for mine. There's you have a normal fire pit, and then you have seats and stuff, but you also have, I don't know what you'd call them, not Japanese gates, but you know what I mean? Two posts and a topper.
Right.
Whatever yeah. that is. You know, you do like 3 of those.
Right.
And you can string some lights above it. You know, then it's like you have the fire, but it's also like a communal area.
Right.
And you have seats all around it. It becomes like a mini patio with no roof.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what we're thinking about doing, but just in the area between the house and the garage.
Yeah.
So like, you know, running some strings of lights above it.
Sure.
And, yeah. Doing some seats. And I was actually thinking about like making a new fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Like, if you imagine, this is what I had in my head, was like an upside-down pyramid, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 3 triangles of metal that are all welded on the seams, or 4 triangles of metal welded to make the basically the upside-down pyramid, and then a square to hold the bottom of the pyramid, you know, so it's not, obviously, it's not balancing on the ground. Yeah. So you have a square that's half the size of the, or whatever, a third of the size of the full diameter, and then 4 feet coming off of it. So that was kind of my original idea for just like a simple fire pit that I think would be kind of fun to cut and like weld together and like make as a video. So
yeah,
maybe I'll do something like that. Maybe it has a square bottom. I'm not sure exactly yet, but I'll have to like work it up a little bit, some sketches and stuff, and see if the idea looks as good as I hope it will in my head.
Yeah. Well,
I think that'd be kind of fun, you know, and easy, like a nice simple design, which I like simple designs, and then also something that's a little different than what we've done, you know, because we haven't done a lot of welding stuff, so metal cutting and shaping and welding might be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, so I'm thinking of something for that, like that there, and then, you know, we'll do some Adirondack solid seating or something around it, and then some lights, and then, but before I do that, before we put anything in the above ground, I need to run electricity to the shop, because right now there's none. So
yeah,
I'll have to bury a like a 2-inch conduit or something.
Yeah,
that way I can run wire back and forth, and you know, add new stuff if I need to or whatever.
Yeah, we've been thinking about something like that for the chicken coop, because then you can mm-hmm. keep either light or you can keep like a heated.
Yeah, heated water.
And heated stuff water for winter. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you guys, I mean, since you have the heated and cooled shed area, you know, it's not too far from there. So you're just running it from there over. So.
Right.
So. Yeah. And if that's just like, you know, depending on what you want. I mean, it's kind of like, if you're going to dig a trench, you might as well put conduit in, rather than just bury a cord, you know? Because it's conduit's not that expensive, you know?
Yeah, like I know, but you also don't need to run them. You don't have to have much.
Yeah. No, I know. It's like, I just feel like if you're going to dig a trench and bury something, it might as well be something that you can then remove from or add something different to, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, if something were to happen to the wire underground, then you'd have to dig the whole trench up and put it back in. You know, if you put in a conduit, you know, like, and, you know, getting 2-inch PVC or something like that, you know, and running it underground, it's going to protect it and also make it, you know, just a little bit more variable, which I like.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only going, you know, 30 feet or something, whatever, 40 feet between the house and
mine's
the
garage. Mine's not that far.
Yeah,
it's just, I don't know, I got a lot to do. I got to work on that shed.
Yeah.
Bunch of other stuff. I got my stuff set. I got a lot of stuff I gotta do. And also, we tore down that old shed, and I burned like a quarter of it, or maybe a third.
Yeah,
big chunks I could drag over there, and
right.
Yeah, it got crazy.
I know. I was wondering, like, because you showed us the picture of the fire, and then you showed us the picture of like more stuff to take to the dump. I'm like, why didn't you just burn it all?
Well, there's a bunch of siding attached to it. The one's a roof, so it has all a bunch of roof, what do you call it?
Yeah, like asphalt shingles and stuff.
Yeah, there's so much shit attached to it. And then also, there's such heavy chunks, I couldn't drag them over. I got so frustrated today trying to move the roof. The whole roof is one piece.
Right.
That it fell down, and I was trying to drag it away. Actually, first I was going to flip it. And just make a pile. I just couldn't. I kept thinking, who can I call right now? I just need one more guy.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm getting it up to like my waist, you know. There's no way I couldn't. I didn't have enough.
Yeah.
To flip it all, you know, myself. I could barely get enough just to grab onto it and drag it a foot, and then grab one and shift my weight and drag it a foot. Like, I eventually dragged it over. I was like, I just need a better way. Like, I tried to like lift it onto a chair, and then from a chair, maybe I was like, maybe if I'm up high enough, I just couldn't.
Right.
So just frustrating. When it's just a little bit too much. I don't know how much it weighed, but whatever it was more than I could like deadlift above, you know, just push from my waist up.
And that's frustrating for especially for us. You know, like, we're big dudes. Like,
strong. Yeah, guys. If it's a big pole or something, but if it's a whole roof and shingles and everything, it just wasn't. I don't know how much it weighed, but it had to be over 200 pounds. I just couldn't do it. But anyway, I got it clear.
Yeah, nice.
But there's still all that shit there, so I need people to come and help me and do some
do some dump runs.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, I'll probably be able to come over. I mean, depending on time or whatever, like, I'm sure I can take.
I mean, it won't be that long. I mean, once you fill your truck up, you're done.
Right. The problem is that, like, is it a lot of wood?
Yeah.
They don't like taking wood at the cocky soil.
Yeah, I know. And they don't like taking siding, and they don't like taking shingles. And it's like, what the, like.
I know. What are you taking?
What the fuck? Yeah. Like, I'm taking down a shed. Where am I supposed to put it?
Yeah, right.
It's a shed. I'm not a contractor. I'm not taking a house down. Like,
yeah,
they were giving me crap for some vinyl siding.
Yeah.
And it was like barely anything. Yeah. So what do you want me to do with it?
Right, exactly. Like, what am I supposed to bring here? It's just like bags of trash. Right. The trash truck comes and takes those. Right. I don't need to bring them.
I can bag all this crap up so you can't see it. Like, so what you want me to do? I'll just throw all the bags away.
Right, exactly.
But it's not like I'm bringing stone or glass, or I put all the metal in the metal spot. Like,
right, yeah.
I recycled all the stuff I can recycle.
Yeah, I know. I've been doing the same thing, yeah. Taking all the stuff from here, you know, like
that is one thing that I thought. I was like, I don't want you guys stuck on a Saturday with a load of crap, but
yeah,
I mean, I think there's enough weird stuff mixed in that maybe they'll they kind of like looked at me weird when I brought mine, because I did a load and I burnt a bunch of it.
Right. Yeah.
But then I was just like, I need one day where, you know, everybody comes with trucks and just takes one down.
Yeah.
Because I don't have my truck right now, so I have my father-in-law's truck, and I feel a little bad.
Oh, right, yeah.
Constantly using his nice truck.
It's a truck, but you're like, it's not my truck, though.
It's a top-of-the-line, beautiful truck. That's not mine. I feel bad.
Yeah, I hear
you. Loading up, last thing I want to do is, I'm like throwing wood up there, and it slams down or something, and I'm like, oh, God, this expensive. Big horn Ram 2500 blah 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 blah. You know, leather everything on the inside
that he can look at. Park next to his garage while he's swimming in his new pool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already stealing the guy's truck. I don't want to mess it up too. You know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff.
yeah.
And the last thing that's. A new thing for me as well is this week was the first week back sailing. Sailing's back. Yay.
Boo. And,
you will be happy to know that Mark can only do two of the four series this summer. So the second series, which is like June, you know, something like that. And then the last series we won't be doing on Legacy. So I'll only be doing... like 12 Tuesdays rather than 24, something like that, whatever good. It is. But yeah. This week we had went out on Tuesday night on Legacy on my friend Mark's boat, and had kind of a short not a very full crew. I think we had 7 people, and that boat really likes to have at least like 9 or 10. So but everyone who was there like knew how to do, we all knew our jobs really well. It wasn't like anybody who's just like, you know, a what we call a rail meet, you know, it wasn't just people who were just like sitting around. Everyone knew what they were doing, and so everyone did their job well, and everyone did kind of an extra job or two at the same time, you know. So it was like, and it was a really fast race too. We had a bunch of wind, something like 12 to 15 knots with gusts to like 18, and they gave us a really short legs with like a three leg course is like a down and back 3 times, but really short legs. So it was like a lot of stuff to do all at once. And the first night back sailing, whenever we're like, oh, come on, really? First night back, you know, everyone's like fresh, you know, we're all like getting back in the swing of things, you know, make us do a triple hot dog race on like a 15 knot wind night. So,
but are you back into it?
Yeah, no, it was great. It ended up being really good, and we did really well, and everyone did their jobs really well, which was really nice. And then Wednesday night we went out, and it was low winds. It was actually supposed to only be like 1 or 2 knots of wind, you know, so like less than 3 miles an hour wind, but the wind stayed up a little bit. It stayed about 5 or 6 knots the whole time. So we actually had some wind. We were going, you know, we were going between 3 and 4 knots of boat speed. But it was a pretty quick race and just like an out and back. And that was on Wednesday night. So, but that was nice too. We did really good, and Corinne flew the Spinnaker, and you know, so nice. She did that, and we jived a couple times. She did really well with that, and yeah, it was really nice. It was just a beautiful night. That was last night. It was a night, beautiful night on the water, and yeah, it was really nice. We finished first physically, but I think the boat that finished right behind us in second might have corrected over us with the handicap, so they might have got us by a couple seconds, but they were in front of us on the beginning of the last leg, and we came up kind of next to them, beside them, we took their air and we went by them, so that felt good. Whether or not we actually beat them from the handicap, it felt good to beat them physically, because that boat is a smaller boat and it's lighter. So on low wind nights like that, he always does better than us because we have really similar ratings. Like we're 135 and he's a 138. So it was only 3 points difference. So that's like only 3 seconds for every mile that we owe him. So I think we owed him something like 12 seconds and I think we beat him by 8 or 9 or something like that, you know? So,
yeah.
But nice. It was fun to like catch him on a low wind night and take his wind and then go by him at the end.
Yeah. Nice.
But I will say this morning when I got up, sat up on the edge of my bed, and I was just sitting on the side of on my bed, and my butt bones hurt from like 2 nights of sitting on the deck on the sailboat after a whole summer of having like, you know, cushy, soft seating. But no, it was great. It's great to be back on the water. So nice.
Nice.
And both really nice nights. It was like in the 70s both nights, you know, like beautiful nights. Like I was just in t-shirt and shorts both nights and out in the water. It was perfect.
It has been nice out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really nice for everything we're doing, all the outside work, you know, all the posts and painting everything and, you know, putting stuff up like, you know, we needed some dry time. And it's been like basically almost completely rain free this whole past week and a half. So it's been nice.
All right.
Yeah, man. So that's the update. And other than a new drill and, you know, doing a lot of stuff with like plaster and concrete, mixing things at school and at home, my hands have been like super dry recently. I'm like,
you're a mess.
Yeah, I know. I was like, after we did something, we worked all day. What were we doing? The other night, I don't know. Oh, we were doing like, so another thing we found when we took the, we took the old countertops out. They were like a vinyl countertop that had a backsplash like built into it.
Yeah.
So we pulled that off and there was this like piece of wood, this wood trim that was above the backsplash right in the middle underneath our windowsill. And we thought it was like something decorative. So we pulled that out and we went to pull the whole countertops off. It revealed a like actual hole in the wall behind it. So where I think there must have been like a built-in backsplash for like the original farm sink. And so they just basically like, cover the hole in the wall with this like piece of wood trim. And so, so we were like, shit. So then, you know, in the middle of everything else, we were like, okay, now how do we fix this? We went out to Home Depot and got some, you know, mortar mix and some like to be able to like fill in and some gypsum board and then, you know, and then, drywall, whatever, you know, like drywall compound that goes on the outside of everything. So
yeah,
had to fix all those as well. Like, man, ugh. But yeah, so I've been like, so at the end of the day, it's like just working with all that like concrete and gypsum board, everything just sucks all the moisture out of my hands. My hands were like so dry. I was like, and it was like I went to bed at probably 11 o'clock or something. And right before I went to bed, I went to the bathroom and I put some like lotion on my hands because they were super dry. And then I went to open the door to my bedroom and it's like a little stiff and I couldn't open it. I'm like trying to pull it so tight and my hands are sore and like lotiony. So like trying to, and Nicole was just in the room laughing at me. I was like, come out, May. I had to go back in the bathroom and grab a towel and like grab the hand so I could get inside. Little lotiony hands, lotiony weak hands. yeah, it's been a whirlwind, but it's been fun. Yeah. And we're back at school this week, but
getting stuff done.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff. All right. Ooh, yeah. Recommendation? You have something? I have something.
Yeah, a book I read, but before that, Andor and Last of Us season 2 is out. And I like binged them the last couple of days. And Andor is great. Last of Us Series 2 is interesting.
I think Last of Us is that's HBO. Is that right?
Yeah. Did you watch the first season of it?
I did. Yeah. I really liked the first season.
Oh, it's great.
But I don't have HBO anymore. I don't have Max.
Well, the second is it's interesting, but people had issues with the second game anyway.
Right.
You know, about who they followed and what happened in it. So I think it's good. It's good for what some of the events are disappointing, but I think it's as good as it can be.
Right.
Definitely worth a watch. But I just read this book on tape or on Spotify, mm-hmm. The Wide Wide Sea by Hampton Sides. He's done a bunch of historical books, but this is about Captain Cook's final journey.
Cool.
And, you know, he's a British explorer in the 1700s. And he discovered, you know, quote-unquote, discovered a bunch of lands and islands and did this and was looking for a northern pass above the Americas and, and you know, went to a million islands all over the Pacific,
right?
Yep. You know, which obviously, you know, some people love him for being an explorer. Some of the islanders hate him for changing their way of life because he brought, you know, European stuff to him.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Disease and he made contact with the world, and from then, you know how it usually goes with contact with the world to indigenous peoples. Then it slowly starts to dissolve their way of life. But you know, the book is good. It's a good mix. It's not too hard on him, but it shows all sides of the way it was.
Nice.
But his final voyage, he does, spoiler alert, he does get killed by natives in his final voyage. So it's basically everything leading up to this and what happened. And he was like the first European to discover Hawaii.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, it's great. I think it's just, I just love tall ship stories. I love sailing stories, and especially those type of things where it's just your group of guys and you find an island.
Yeah.
And then you pull up to it and they're all amazed by you and all the women want to sleep with everybody and you trade things for like nails, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's like these men who have been sailing for 6 months to a year to 3 years.
Cramped corridor, you know,
people are dying, and then all of a sudden you show up to paradise. You show up to Tahiti or Hawaii or New Zealand or any of these places, and the native people are like, all the women want to sleep with you, and all the men want to trade with you, like, and there's unlimited food and supplies. You know, you've been eating crap, and then all of a sudden you're eating pig and this and that, and it's like you just, you know, you can imagine the crazy stuff that happened. But also
the mutiny on the Bounty, that
you ever right that which Tom, yeah which Tom, actually came after
no, came was, Mel Gibson
came after Captain Cook some years after. And I think one of the guys who was, whatever the captain was, I think he was on one of Captain Cook's.
Oh, right on. Yeah, the original captain.
Yeah, but that's,
I think it was Anthony Hopkins. That was the character.
Yeah.
But they basically did that. You know, they found an island and just like, you know, blended into the culture and didn't want to leave. And it's great.
Yeah. There was a lot of that. And but anyway, it's just a really great story. And
nice.
He seemed like they would be decent, but then they. Some captains would and some wouldn't, and you know, if you let your men off the boat, they'd spread venereal diseases for sure. But if you didn't let them off the boat, you have mutiny on the Bounty. It's like hard to tell men not, especially when the women are like all down for it.
Yeah, right.
And they're making fun of you because you're not doing it. That's, they will make fun of you as they're naked in front of you. Like, wait, you don't want to sleep with me? Like, what's your problem? And the men would make their way off and sneak off. And what are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
You know, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. A bunch of crew.
But it was really interesting. A lot, you know. Like I said, he was very kind of middle of the road. Like, he would respect, if he could find native names for places he was going to, he would a lot of times name it after that.
Right on.
Which was, he didn't have to. And a lot of captains wouldn't. They would just name it for this guy or that guy, which he did that too.
Right.
Yeah. But he would like try to figure it out first. Like, what do you call this? And but there's also claiming land for England because he didn't want Spain to have it and they didn't want France to have it. So it's like, what do you do? Do you not claim it and then the Spanish come and claim it and then...
then they have more land. Yeah, right.
It's such weird... that it's such a crazy, you know, like the morals don't really work.
Right.
And also natives, a lot of them, they wouldn't respect you if you let them... like, if there wasn't any, like, pushback to stuff.
Right, right, yeah.
So it's like, do you shoot someone and, like, really show them who's boss? Or do you not? And, like, do you not fight the people? Do you if they start to fight? You know, because they're all warring amongst each other, too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the cultures were, you know, warring cultures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? So it's but so it does. It really goes into all sides of it. It's a really well done. And it's just good, kind That's of an cool. It's a good adventure story.
Nice.
So there you go. On. Yeah. The Wide, Wide Sea.
Right on. It's awesome. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
I also have a book recommendation and a show recommendation. So tag team that one. So I have been seeing Adam Savage talk about the show Silo.
Oh, yeah.
For a little while, he's been kind of showing different things, and he's going and visiting, like touring the set and stuff, mm-hmm. and meeting the prop people. So I actually listened to the book, the first book in the series, which is actually called Wool, W-O-O-L. And basically the premise is, like, there's a group of people that live in an underground, like, missile silo, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a missile silo. It's an actual, like, you know, cylindrical high-rise building, but starting on level zero and going down, right? Yeah. It's like 150 floors or something. And you know, so it's, they have, and everything is completely inside because it's a post-apocalyptic world outside. So they have, you know, all these different levels that are like the farm levels and the housing levels and the, you know, the IT level and the judicial level and the, you know, supply level and then mechanic at the bottom, you know, so they have all these different people and different levels and talks about all sorts of different stuff. But the book's really good. I really like the book. I'm actually just about to finish the second book, which is called Shift. Both books are by the author Hugh Howey, and then so I started watching the show Silo, which is on Apple TV.
Yeah.
And the main actress is the woman who plays the mother in the new Dune movies.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, she's really good. It's funny because I didn't even like think about it as the same actress. Until Nicole was like, oh, that's the woman from Dune. I was like, oh, yeah, it is. That's right. Like, in my mind, I guess, think for some reason, like, in my mind, I equated her more with, what's it, Carrie, the woman who played, what's her name, from The Matrix? Neo's, like, girlfriend in The Matrix or whatever. Yeah. Like, in my mind, for some reason, like, I had those two characters or those two actresses, like, mixed up. And then it wasn't until Nicole mentioned it. I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. That is her. I'm like, oh, how about that? Like, you know. But yeah, it's really good. I really like it. And I'm, like, up to episode 8 or out of 9 or something like that in the first season. So it's good. It's... you know, like most things, the show is different than the books in some ways. It's actually, it follows pretty closely with, like, the general story of the books, but there's some, they kind of change around a little bit of the progress, the way it moves through the story, and the book, the show and the books is a little bit different, and they kind of change a little bit of, like, who's the antagonist in the story. You know, they kind of move that around a little bit. They added a few more characters to make it a little more dramatic. But but I really like it so far. It's really good. And it's the first show in a while that has held my attention enough to, like, continue to watch it. Like, I've started a bunch of shows in the last, like, 6 months or so and have watched the first, like, 5 or 6 episodes. But I've, like, kind of... not finished the series, you know. I'm like, you know, like, whether I'm doing other things, but this is one where, like, each night I want to go back and try to watch an episode, you know, like, so.
It's pretty good. I like it. It was fun. Yeah, I found it okay. from not someone who hasn't read the book. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I finished it. I don't know if I finished one.
Silo.
Yeah, there was some. I don't know. There were some things that it just didn't. I feel like it didn't line up, and maybe you clear some stuff up later on about who's doing what and
right. Yeah.
But sometimes I feel if you don't make sense for too long,
right,
then it's just like, all right, well, now I'm not interested.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You can't say all this stuff doesn't work.
Right.
For like 10 episodes and then go, right. Well, it actually does all work because of this. And you're like, all right. It's like, but also right. None of this other stuff didn't make sense. Like,
right,
yeah. I don't like the, like, and I don't know if this is what happens. And it was okay. Like, I liked the show.
Right.
But there was some stuff like, oh, this doesn't really make sense. And I don't, it's a lot of motivation stuff where I'm like, I just don't think people would do this.
Yeah.
Or right. why is everyone forced to do this one thing? Yeah. Right. There's probably, you probably learn why certain things, but it's like, I don't know if everyone would want to see this. Or there's also stuff right where they have like a live feed of the outside, uh-huh. and you got to like clean the lens off and all this. But there's also dead people in it.
Yeah, right.
And like people are having lunch and you like there's a bunch of dead people laying outside your live feed. Like no one wants to see that.
Right. Yeah.
And exactly. it's not making any, it's not giving, like, that's just a reminder of, I mean, or unless that's one of those things like, oh, maybe that's a reason, or maybe they aren't dead, or maybe.
Right.
But event, you know, for too long, you go like, well, why don't people say, hey, turn this off?
Yeah, like, right.
You know, I don't want to see the outside today. There's my friend laying there dead.
Right. Yeah. That is part of it. It's like, it's a different culture, right? Because it's like these people who live by a certain rule set and they have different laws and, you know, Yeah, it's just like a different culture. Like, yeah, why would you want to go up and see like the outside if it's just desolate wasteland?
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know, like maybe that's just that's just how they do it. You know, it's like it's just part of being in that culture. Like,
right.
You know, you're never outside. So that seeing outside, even with some dead people out there, is that's all they have of the outside right. world.
Yeah,
and it's like, is it good or is it bad? It's, you know, it's right. a mystery. So and it's like you're always looking at a mystery.
And then it's like, are they going to clean the lens or not? Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And whether that's real or not, like, I just didn't,
right.
I didn't get the motivation either way. I didn't right. get that there was a motivation not to clean it.
Right, right.
If you're already out there, clean it.
Yeah.
You know, like, why wouldn't you just wipe it off?
Right.
No matter what. Right. You know, or, you know, like, if they didn't clean it, then that whole thing, it seemed like a big, they made it as a big deal in the book.
Right.
And I just didn't see it as a big deal. I'm like, I just.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, in the book, they, you said you didn't read the book, you just watched some of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in the book, I mean, they get into it a little bit sooner. Like, there are some mysteries that are solved really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, some motivation that's given you really quickly in the books. It doesn't really happen as quickly in the show. So I agree with that, yeah. You know, like, I guess the idea is, like, these people go out, and if they're being sent out to clean, which is what they call it, to, like, go out to, you know, go out of the airlock, and you're, like, basically banished from the silo.
Right.
You know, that's a death sentence because they don't ever make it very far. But right. if they do go out, you know, it's like everyone always goes out and they always clean off the lenses, and the lenses is what's showing the outside world to who's inside.
Right.
And so it's like some of the mystery is like, why are they cleaning the lenses? Like, if they're going out, they've already been like banished by their own people, this own society, for one reason or another, whether it's because they did something crazy or right. or they, you know, went crazy, or they're too curious and so they said, I want to go outside. And you know, if they do that, why would they cleanse the lens? You know, like, what's their motivation? You know, like, they don't care about the people inside anymore because they don't care about them. So then when they get out there, there's some, for some reason, everyone who ever goes out always comes back and cleans the lens. Yeah. So that's, like, part of the mystery, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, like you said,
even with that, like, it doesn't matter either way. If you know you're going to die, it's... I just don't know if that was, you know, that I know that's a linchpin of something.
Right, yeah.
I don't think it matters that much. Like, it doesn't feel that huge to me.
Right, right. Yeah.
And everyone's like, yay, you know, he did it. But all it's also like, now we get to watch him die. Walk up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then we got to just sit there with our friend, like, dead body. Like, are we really that excited? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's like people watching, you know, like hangings and stuff back in the day.
Yeah, but then you didn't have to sit there with a body while you ate lunch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, true. Yeah, like I said, it's a little clearer, obviously, in the books, but yeah, I mean, it's never like my reasoning behind it, my way to like argue the reason why it would happen is that it's just like it's the culture. You know, it's been the culture for however many hundreds of years since they've been in this silo.
Yeah,
it's just something that they do. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, but
it's their only view. But yeah, no, I like it. It's a fun show, and I think it's like the world building is fun. You know, I like the different people and stuff, and I like the different characters and the way these different the way the silo like runs. You know, where you have these different groups of people who help always do their job, and you know,
yeah,
like there's no elevator, so there's just the stairway. So you have this whole. Right. You know, profession of porters, people who are just like taking things up and down the stairs, you know, like mail people basically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but cool. Yeah, it's pretty good so far. And again, because I read the first book first and then, or listened to the audiobook, you know, driving back and forth to work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been listening to it and almost on the second book. The second book's good too because it actually goes back in time to before the silos when like it's like modern day.
Yeah,
and it tells you the story of how the silo got there. You know, so it like goes all the way back to like the people who created the silo,
nice,
and like why they did, and then it moves forward all the way in time, over the however many hundred years. Like it jumps and jumps until it's basically back to the same time as Silo, as the first book. It's kind of fun. It's fun to have that like preamble to the first story.
Yeah.
Because you have all these questions of like, why is this here? You know, what is happening? Why are they doing these things? Like, and then it helps to. I think that second book does help to answer a lot of the questions that you have, basically just from seeing that. Like, what's the motivation? You know, it is what it is. So
yeah, but yeah, to me, I want some of those answers quicker.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
I can see that. Cool. All right, so yeah, that's Silo on Apple TV, or if you want to read the books. I think there's three books. I don't know the third book off the top of my head, the name of it, but the first book is called Wool, because that's what they use. They use these little wool patches to clean the lenses, which we were talking about. Yeah. And then the second book is called Shift, so by Hugh Howey.
Wool is a tough, isn't that? That's kind of tough to clean a lens with.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I guess.
You know, scratch it. That's why it's all dirty.
Pack. I mean, wool can be soft. Depends on the wool, you know. Alpaca. You know, something soft.
Do they have alpaca wool?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, that limit. I mean, if you only need a few patches, you only need like one a year, so.
Well, I mean, you know, they have all this, like, they have fabric they need to make in the silo, so they're either making it from, like.
Do they have alpacas?
Growing cotton or having sheep, you know, for wool.
That'd be Sheep's great wool? If you had. That's. Let them. I want to be on the alpaca floor.
Exactly. Sit down there hanging out.
Yeah, people don't come in down here and visit. It's fun.
Yep, you'd be a farmer in the silo. Nice.
Yeah, you need like a secondary. That would be cool if the same writer or another writer who does comedy. Wrote like a really like fun, funny book about being like like they don't know what's going down.
Yeah,
they don't know any of the drama of the stuff because they're down on like the 50th like floor.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like this great comedy and love story and stuff. The like farmers, just
people living in the silo.
Yeah,
yeah. Normal day to day life.
Right. Just, normal like, stuff. The like silo, these people life. Have a great life. Or you know these this is a certain group of people. Like they don't know about There's all no the drama. Politics and stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They think the stuff upstairs is like a little weird. A little like all right, like whatever.
Yeah, just doing our job, you know. Like somebody's got to, you know, keep the alpacas alive so we can shear them each year to make our fabric.
Things are great down here. We don't bother ourselves with that stuff upstairs.
Artificial sun. We got green grass everywhere.
They're getting worked up about stuff.
They do talk about like one of the characters in the second book is he's a porter, but his dad is a farmer. And they talk about how you can tell the people who are farmers because they have tans. Because they're like all in the grow lights all the time. So they're all like darker than everyone else. They're all tanned. They got farmer's tans.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks everybody for hanging out with us. Make sure you check out, if you haven't already, check out the final video in the old shop that's up and has got some good views on it and some good comments and stuff. It's been fun to hear people, you know, their reactions to be like, oh man, you can't do that to us. I'm going to have a heart attack. You can't tell me you're going to be done, you know, whatever. So, which is why, like in the video, we basically like say it right away. Like, oh, we're done. This is the last video in the old shop, you know, right. But no, it was fun. And so check it out on YouTube. That's our last video. And then hopefully we'll be getting something else up soon, whether that's some type of like shop infrastructure or some little fun video that we're going to do. And if you want to see some of the stuff that I've been posting, I've been trying to post some stuff on Instagram, either stories or reels and stuff, just of kind of updates and things that we're doing around the house. Check us out there on Instagram. You can check me out at The Art of Craftsmanship and Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. And then if you want to support us further, you can head over to patreon.com/The Art of Craftsmanship and you can support us there as a patron. Also, if you have any questions or anything you want us to talk about on the podcast, you can always send either Devin or I a DM through Instagram, or you can send us an email at theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com. So another way to contact us. So if you're ever interested or you have a question or something you want to talk about or something you want to reach out to us about that we've said here or some video, please feel free. We like to talk to everybody. So,
yeah.
All right, man. All good.
Thanks. All right, brother.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.